In making assignments or giving tests, teachers often say, "Do what it says." In the Bible book of James, he uses these same words of instruction for the directions given by the Word of God. It is found in James chapter 1, verses 22 through 27, and the words, "Do what it says," serve as today's topic for this Words of Life program by Brother David Johnson. We are brought to you by Churches of Christ and other dedicated believers who want you to follow Jesus. We now worship our Lord with song. Lord, we bow before you in prayerful thanksgiving, knowing that you are God. In these days, Father, we need your healing and your peace for individuals and for society. Most important, our people need Jesus, and we need to do what he says. Be with each one who is upholding your teaching, and protect each one from persecution. Help each one who shares your gospel. And when you have finished with us here upon this earth, take us home to be with you. In the name of Jesus, amen. Today, we continue our sermon series in the book of James with Brother David Johnson's teaching on the words, Do What It Says, based upon James chapter 1, verses 22 through 27.
It's great to be together again as we look into the Word of God. The title for the lesson is, Do What It Says. And our primary text is taken from the book of James, chapter 1, verses 22 through 27. Please listen to the Word of God. Do not merely listen to the Word and so deceive yourselves. Do what it says. Anyone who listens to the Word but does not do what it says is like a man who looks at his face in a mirror and, after looking at himself, goes away and immediately forgets what he looks like. But the man who looks intently into the perfect law that gives freedom and continues to do this, not forgetting what he has heard, but doing it, he will be blessed in what he does. If anyone considers himself religious and yet does not keep a tight rein on his tongue, he deceives himself and his religion is worthless. Religion that God our Father accepts as pure and faultless is this: to look after orphans and widows in their distress and to keep oneself from being polluted by the world. This is the Word of God. May He add His blessing to the public reading of His Word. Therefore, listening to, reading, and studying the Bible is only half the equation. The other half is, yes, doing, living out what the Bible says. We have to know what the Word of God says before we can obey it and live it, which is certainly true. But living it is the cap on top of what needs to be done. Even an atheist could listen to, read, and study Scripture to attack it. The godly benefit is to incorporate God's will and ways into our daily life through His Word by the conviction, convincing, and guidance of the Holy Spirit of God. Consider the Gospel of John, chapter 8, and verse 31. To the Jews who had believed Him, Jesus said, "If you hold to My teachings, you are really My disciples." And this, of course, is true of anybody, at any time, that claims to be a follower of Jesus Christ. James, the half-brother of Jesus, understood this teaching and emphasized its necessity to early Jewish Christians, applicable to all Christians today. James chapter 1 and verse 22, "Do not merely listen to the Word and so deceive yourselves. Do what it says." Any response to God's Word other than faithful obedience is self-deception. The original Greek word translated deceive or delude was used by Greeks in mathematics to refer to a miscalculation. Professing Christians who are content with only hearing the Word of God have made a serious spiritual miscalculation. John MacArthur, Bible expositor, puts it very well, quote, "Those who consistently disobey God's Word give evidence that they are without His life within them. Those who consistently obey the Word give evidence of the life of God in their souls," end of quote. A measurement of the effectiveness of our Bible listening and study is how it impacts our attitudes and conduct, our character lived out. God's Word should be saturating not just our heads, but also our hearts, our hands, and all that we are as we yield to the Word and will of God. The Greek word for hearers or listeners was used of those who sat passively in an audience and listened to a speaker or singer simply for entertainment. God's Word is not for entertainment. It's for our education and edification to live it out in godly lives. I often have to remind my sons, even in the back seat, to put on their seatbelts. I read about a man who never put on his seatbelt, even when driving. After visiting a friend in the hospital who was in a car accident and went through the windshield, this man started wearing a seatbelt consistently. Why? Because he saw his friend's face in the hospital with 200 to 300 stitches in his face. Now this man had listened to many tell him, wear your seatbelt, but he never did it. Until the warning got real to his heart and hands to click it. The message finally sank in and affected his life. God's Word is life. It's the way to eternal life that needs to be active now, daily in obedience. I also read about an annual meeting of the American Heart Association, attended by some 300,000 doctors, nurses, and researchers. One of the things they emphasized was the importance of a low-fat diet in keeping hearts healthy. Yet during their lunch break, many ate fat-filled fast food, such as bacon, cheeseburgers, and fries. When one cardiologist was asked whether his eating a high-fat meal set a bad example, he cavalierly replied, quote, "Not me. I took my name tag off," end quote. I submit to you that consistently living an ungodly lifestyle is being only a name tag Christian, which is no Christian at all. To listen to the Word of God is actually just initiation. However, doing the Word of God is imitation, striving to be more Christ-like. After all, we're Christians. Don't deceive yourself. Initiation is not imitation. Many mark their Bibles, but more importantly, Bibles, that is, God, needs to mark us. James wanted to drive this important principle home to his readers, so he illustrated James chapter 1, verses 23 through 24. Anyone who listens to the Word but does not do what it says is like a man who looks at his face in a mirror and after looking at himself goes away and immediately forgets what he looks like. So what's the point? What does this mean? Well, why do we look in a mirror? It's to see how we look. Is our hair tidy? Is our face clean? If we look at ourselves in a mirror and immediately forget what we saw, what good is it? It's just a waste of time and effort. So looking and forgetting is like listening and not doing, both useless, with nothing worthwhile gained. Furthermore, often if listening to the Word is not acted upon promptly, the instruction, the command, can be forgotten without following the principle, or change, or improvement needed to be acted upon by each and every one of us. The Bible serves as a mirror of who we really are. We need to act appropriately to what we hear and see in Scripture. Forgetting, ignoring, rejecting God's Word regarding our inner lives has far more serious consequences than simply checking our outward appearance. What we hear of Scripture in the church house needs to be lived out at home, in the schoolhouse, or wherever, whenever. Otherwise, listening, seeing Scripture is just a ritual, not building a personal relationship with the living God. Then James adds the clincher, James chapter 1 and verse 25. But the man who looks intently into the perfect law that gives freedom and continues to do this, not forgetting what he has heard, but doing it, he will be blessed in what he does. The perfect law in this context is not Mosaic law-keeping of rituals, regulations, and ceremonies. This perfect law refers to God's revealed, inerrant, inspired, sufficient, and comprehensive word preserved for mankind's benefit and blessing to live godly, pleasing lives. Psalm 19, verses 7 and 8 says, "The law of the Lord is perfect, reviving the soul. The statutes of the Lord are trustworthy, making wise the simple. The precepts of the Lord are right, giving joy to the heart. The commands of the Lord are radiant, giving light to the eyes." God's grace, His gracious favor usward, does not cancel God's moral, ethical law, nor God's code of conduct to be obeyed. Our freedom in Christ is from the penalty and the bondage of sin. Obedience is still necessary. John chapter 8, verses 34 through 36, Jesus replied, "I tell you the truth, everyone who sins is a slave to sin. Now a slave has no permanent place in the family, but a son belongs to it forever. So if the Son sets you free, you will be free indeed." As born-again, Spirit-indwelt Christians, we strive not to let sin reign in our mortal bodies, not to have mastery over us. By being doers of God's Word consistently, we can be more than conquerors. We can be overcomers of the flesh, of the world, and Satan. This is only possible with God by His Spirit in us as we submit to His guidance and leading through His written Word. Next, James gives some basic, practical, daily living evidences of a blessed life, which lives out of God's Word. James chapter 1 and verse 26. "If anyone considers himself religious and yet does not keep a tight rein on his tongue, he deceives himself and his religion is worthless." How we think. Our attitudes come out by the way we talk. Our walk with Christ includes our talk, an important fruit of the Spirit we all need to develop and mature in is self-control, here including our tongues. This is a prime example of how effectual a doer of God's Word is, by our words, by our speaking, our conversation. I heard someone say that it doesn't matter what we say or how we say it, as long as we're honest about it. Is this true? You can be honestly mistaken. Jesus Christ Himself said in Matthew chapter 12, verses 33 through 37, "Make a tree good, and its fruit will be good. Or make a tree bad, and its fruit will be bad. For a tree is recognized by its fruit. You brood of vipers, how can you, who are evil, say anything good? For out of the overflow of the heart, the mouth speaks. The good man brings good things out of the good stored up in him, and the evil man brings evil things out of the evil stored up in him. But I tell you that men will have to give an account on the day of judgment for every careless word they have spoken. For by your words you will be acquitted, and by your words you will be condemned." Every person ultimately is judged by his words because they reveal the condition of his heart. For the one who is acquitted, that is, his condemnation lifted, it's by God's grace through saving faith. Romans chapter 10, verses 9 through 10. "That if you confess with your mouth Jesus is Lord, and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. For it is with your heart that you believe and are justified, and it is with your mouth that you confess and are saved. An ethics lecturer taught on the impact of words. He asked audiences if they could go 24 hours without saying any unkind words about another person or to another person. Invariably, a small number of listeners raised their hands signifying yes. Others laughed, and quite a large number called out no. The lecturer said, "Those of you who can't answer yes must recognize that you have a serious ethical problem. If you cannot go 24 hours without drinking liquor, you are addicted to alcohol. If you cannot go 24 hours without smoking, you are addicted to nicotine. Similarly, if you cannot go 24 hours without saying unkind words about or to others, then you have lost control of your tongue." Would we have trouble going 24 hours without saying something unkind about or to another? Something to think about. Next, consider another practical example by James in this epistle. James chapter 1 and verse 27. "Religion that God our Father accepts as pure and faultless is this, to look after orphans and widows in their distress and to keep oneself from being polluted by the world." So loving our neighbor as ourself, especially those most vulnerable among us, orphans and widows, and living holy, godly lives succinctly sums up being genuine doers of God's word, who indeed do what it says. So all, quote, religion, end quote, is not bad. Pure and undefiled religion is possible and can be pleasing to our God. However, it needs to be expressed evidence not just by good intentions, but by godly acts externally and by purity internally. Consider, for example, Truett Cathy, founder of Chick-fil-A restaurants. He's closed his restaurants on Sundays since 1948, even though he's probably losing millions of dollars of business. He instead honors the Lord's Day, honors the Lord himself, and encourages all of his employees to attend church services. But there's much more to this Christian's life lived out according to the Word of God than his business practices. In 1948, at his first restaurant, Truett Cathy hired Eddie White, a 12-year-old African-American, when this was not done, especially in the Deep South, in Georgia, when segregation was the law of the land. Cathy also mentored an orphan, Woody Falk, from the time he was 13. He eventually became vice president of product development at Chick-fil-A, that is, this orphan. Cathy also developed a successful foster home system called the Windshape Homes. There are currently 11 foster homes in America and one in Brazil that he began. Cathy also has a camp and foundation that provides scholarships for kids and college students. One of Cathy's favorite sayings is, quote, "It's easier to build boys and girls than to mend men and women," end of quote. Chick-fil-A kids' meals don't come with promotional toys from the latest popular movie. Instead, they offer VeggieTale books, audio cassettes of Focus on the Family's Adventures in Odyssey, and other character-building materials for youth. Woody Falk, a vice president of Chick-fil-A today, states of Truett Cathy, quote, "He's the personification of James chapter 1 and verse 22. Do not merely listen to the word and so deceive yourselves. Do what it says." End of quote. May this also be true of each and every one of us as Christ followers.
Are you doing what the Word of God says? If you have made a commitment for Jesus, we thank God for that. If you have not made a commitment to receive Jesus as Savior, you need to do so today. Make that decision of faith and obedience in order to receive salvation. If we can help you in your decision for Jesus, please contact us. You can receive a free CD of this and next week's program by asking for CD 2031. That's 2031. Don't hesitate. Write to us today, and may God bless you. It is our blessing to tell you that Words of Life is an international program heard on a variety of stations throughout the world. Our mailing address is Words of Life, Post Office Box 221, Sellersburg, Indiana 47172, USA. Let me repeat that. Words of Life, Post Office Box 221, Sellersburg, Indiana 47172, USA. Please let us know the call letters of this radio station when you write. Our email address is wol1radio@gmail.com. That's wol1radio@gmail.com. You can listen to Words of Life programs anytime you want by logging on to our website at wordsofliferadio.net. That's wordsofliferadio.net. Our newsletter is also available on this page. This is Wayne Hobbs inviting you to tune in again next week for another program from Words of Life.